that we just are willing to be flexible and just move as he moves. So I just want to open it up, even like if the Lord gives you something while this message is going on or something, then just feel free to let me know and have an opportunity to speak that out, because it's not about us that speak. It's about what God is doing. Amen. So today's Pentecost Sunday. So I thought that that was pretty exciting. I haven't spoken about 2 years, so I'm nervous. I am really nervous. It's unbelievable. So, you know, it's like, you know, in myself, I think about, you know, in this world, I'm a nobody, and except for maybe to my family and some friends, that, you know, I'm just Cindy Human in small town Jefferson, and I have a church family and a home family and some friends, but to Jesus, I'm everything, and he thinks about us all the time. You know, it's like we are forever on his mind, and I was thinking that it's, you know, it's exactly why he poured out his blood. Amen. He wanted family. And so as important as family is to us, family is more important to him. So, you know, when we think about the blood of Jesus and all of the things that it did, you know, there's healing in the blood. There's it's just life. It's life in everything. It's what gives us, it's what makes us the righteousness of God. Amen. Brent talks about it all the time. He reminds us that we have to know who we are. And sometimes, you know, I was even telling Brent the other day, I said, sometimes I just don't think that we get it. You know, we say it and we recite it and we hear it over and over again, but do we live it? Do we really understand that that we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God? And the blood gave us access to everything that there is. And I'm not just speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself, because there are times that I fall short, lots of times. So knowing who we are is, and accepting, you know, that's a huge part too, is accepting that we do have that access, you know. So we can say, oh yeah, we're the righteousness of God, I'm the son, or I'm the daughter of God, and, you know, everything's given to me through the blood, but do we use it? Do we actually allow ourselves to position ourselves as, I can go to the throne of God boldly and declare those things over our family, our friends, our church, our cities, our country, you know, our state, whatever it is, that we have all the tools. He gave everything to us. He's going to only move through us, you know, so we're going to talk a little bit about the glory and today and the blood. And one of the scriptures, Jeremy's been repeating it for the last couple of weeks. I've been hearing him say it. It's kind of what the first scripture that the Lord gave me was that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies. So his blood is what gives us all access, but we already have some testimonies. I can look at everybody in this room and I can pretty much be guaranteed that everybody in this room has a testimony of some kind. But this is another thing Brent always would say. It's like, you know, I'm tired of having the same old testimonies. I want some new ones. And so that's kind of where I think that we are as a body of believers. You know, everybody in this room today, I look at and I say, these are the cream of the crop. You know, these are the ones that cry out for God to be able to want to have everything that he has. So today we're going to talk about how we get into the glory realm. And so, you know, this is one thing that just overwhelmed me a little bit. And it was like, what if we spent time at the altars and that we were sold out and we were hungry? I mean, really hungry. You know, it's like, have you ever like missed breakfast and lunch and dinner's coming up? But it's, you know, if you eat, you're going to get full, but you're like really hungry and you need to have something in your tummy. It's like, I want to be hungry. I don't want to just be satisfied with what I've learned, because as believers, I sit here today or I stand here and I can see that most of us are in the Word. We know the Word of God and he's forever given us revelation. But sometimes I think we forget to stay hungry. You know, we forget that God really desires us to desire him. Amen. So So if we sat at the altars, you know, like back in the old day, I was watching some old, like even last night, I put on some old, I mean, old. It was really kind of hard to watch at first. But, I mean, the people were hungry. They found themselves at the altar, and it was because they wanted everything that God had, and they didn't want to miss out. You know, they weren't embarrassed. They weren't afraid that somebody might see me or that I'm going to be pointed out or whatever. They were so hungry that it didn't matter because all they wanted was Jesus. That's it. They just wanted Jesus. And it didn't matter if they laid out on the floor. It didn't matter if they kneeled at their chair or if they said a prayer or whatever, but they were hungry. And that's what I want to be. I want my hunger to grow, and I want my hunger to be at a point where there is nothing that I want more than Jesus. And there's nothing that I want more to see him move in my church, in our prayer groups, and in our city and state. This state is a mess. And without Jesus, there is no hope. So if we're hungry and if we're seeking God, if we are coming to that place where we are saying it is all about you, when we praise and worship, is it about him or is our mind wandering? You know, there's that song, like some people will sing, it's the sacrifice of praise. And I started having a little bit of a problem with it because it shouldn't be a sacrifice to praise our Savior. It shouldn't be a sacrifice to come to him and have that place where we give him honor and for everything that he's done. You know, he's saved us, number one. He's given us the power to have the healing. He's provided all of that. If we don't have access to it, that's really not his problem. Amen? It's our problem for whatever reason, and he's teaching us and we're growing and we're believing that the glory of God is going to become so strong and so active that healing will not be a problem. There will be no stress. There won't be any striving. There won't be anything because healing cannot exist in the presence of God. If we went to heaven, there would be no sick people. It doesn't matter if you had a hangnail or a headache. It wouldn't exist. And so that should be our goal for here on earth because we're to bring heaven to earth. Amen? Right. So the other thing I was thinking about, and I have some work to do on this area too, is the atmosphere in our homes. What do we promote in the atmosphere of our homes? It's like, are we filling our homes with praise and worship? Are we filling our homes with things that bring glory and honor to God? Or do we come home from work sometimes and we're tired? You know, I have to say this because when Keith and Kathy came here, I saw them. And you know how God just highlights people out to you sometimes. But I didn't really, you know, I'm not very social. You know, I'm kind of a little awkward. Sometimes I say things that maybe I shouldn't say. They just come out and I don't think about them. And it gets me in trouble. But my heart is usually in the right place. But when Keith and Kathy came, and then I came to one of the Wednesday nights. And so I said, you know, it's a great thing to do. Sometimes we can't always make it, but you know, I came and I listened to them and I could tell that they were so full of the Lord, that they were seekers after the Lord's heart. And it shows. And so if you're living a life of that's just dedicated unto the Lord, there is going to be a result. Amen. So one of the things they said that night that just blew me away is they were watching some YouTube, you know, whether, you know, they just kind of sense where the Spirit's at, whether they're going to watch worship or they're going to watch teaching. We do the same thing. But this is what got me. They said, and then sometimes we just stop and we just might start worshiping together or praying together, you know, coming in agreement with those that are in your household that that God he's the answer to everything. And he deserves all of our praise, all of our worship. And what is praise? And what is worship? And how do we get to the glory? Because when I was reading and then looking up some scriptures, as a matter of fact, we're going to go, let's go to 2 Samuel 5, 23 through 25. Give him a minute. Go, perfect. says, therefore David inquired of the Lord, and he said, you shall not give up. Circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. All right. Why was David coming before the Lord? Because he needed answers, right? So we have access to this. This is the Old Testament, you know, so, but we have access. We have streamlined access to what the Spirit of God has to say for us. But God wants to show us things in the Spirit, and he'll do it for anyone who seeks him and has relationship. You know, we're kind of that fast food society where we don't really want to wait. You know, I'm super bad about that, you know. My husband's a great thinker. You know, I'll ask him a question sometimes, and it's like, I never get an answer. You know, I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. But it's because he thinks about it, and he really tries to discover maybe what the right answer is, and I'm want immediate, right now, answers so that I can move forward with whatever I'm doing. Well, I think God wants us to wait on him. You know, I don't think we know how to wait sometimes. I don't think we even really understand what waiting is. You know, we think waiting is sitting for 5 minutes and coming to an understanding that, okay, I asked him, he's not speaking right now or not today, so maybe I'll ask him in a month, or maybe I'll just make a decision and he'll bless whatever decision I make. And maybe that sometimes that's true. But what I'm saying is if we do not ask and we don't seek the answers, then how do we expect for things to change? Amen? So as we praise him and worship him and spend time with him, he's putting things in our spirit, and sometimes we don't even realize what he's putting in there. You know, you may not realize when you're praying in the Spirit that God is planting something inside you that you need later or that he needs later. And so it's kind of a hidden treasure. You know, years ago, and I know I've said it 100 times probably in here, is the Lord showed me this vision one time, and it was like an arm and a puppy, of all things, and a treasure box. And I knew what the arm was. It represented healing, you know, and I get that God has, you know, healing for us all. And then I said, why the puppy? You know, and he says, because don't you believe that even the smallest things that there are people believing for that I care about? And I said, okay. I said, the treasure box. He says, there are things, there are treasures that sometimes I want you to dig them out, because in that process, revelation is going to come about other things. Amen? So it's important for us not to think even that we have all the answers, the way that we've always done things. Are we ready to kind of change it up a little bit and do something different? What if something happened? What if at the end of this service, if our great musicians here played that amazing song, would there be anybody that came to the altar? Would there be anybody that was willing to come and pour themselves out before God and see what God had to say? Or would we sit there and be nervous or think that, you know, this isn't the way that we always do things? I mean, I'm just saying, maybe we should think about that. Maybe we should see that when the Spirit of God is moving, he's moving because he's waiting on a reaction from us. He wants us to respond to him. And we can sit there or stand there, and even in our worship, which is amazing, if we're connected, right, if we're not thinking about what's for lunch, that we have the ability to come into that place where God wants to show us things. He wants to give us revelation. He wants to give us visions. He wants to give us healing. He wants to mend marriages. He wants to build relationship with us at a deeper level than what we have already. Amen? So just something to think about. You know, it's like, what would we do? You know, would we stay in the same places that we're staying right now, or would we be willing to take a risk in this church? Take a risk. You know, we're believing God for God to fill all these chairs. We're believing God for the glory of God to come in here. You know, what Pastor told us is that he, you know, what the word that God gave him was miracles, signs, and wonders. Well, how is that going to happen if we are a church that isn't even willing to submit ourselves before him and not be ashamed? Are we ashamed of the gospel, or are we risk takers? Are we people that are ready to come alive when we are worshiping, to come into the praise and the worship that comes into a place where we are undone? What does undone look like? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's something that we need to discover as brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know, maybe it's something that we have that God has put in us, and it's dormant, and it's just waiting to be awakened. Amen? Amen. You know, I read this book, and the woman was talking about, you know, that the Lord wants to give revelation to us all. You know, that, and a lot of times maybe we'll even ask the Lord for revelation about something. But what he spoke to her is that he says, you know what, I don't really always give revelation to everybody because their hearts aren't right. Because some people want revelation to get puffed up. Some people want revelation so that they can appear as they know more than somebody else or for whatever reason. But I can tell you that God knows our heart. So it doesn't matter what we think is in our reasoning. We can lie to ourselves or whatever, but God does know our heart. So when we want revelation and we are at that purity of praise and worship and desiring to know who he is, to know what our destiny is, who he created us to be, because I can tell you, I'm in a household, my brother and sister-in-law are there and some of their kids. Amazing students. I mean, one of my nephews went to West Point. The other one's about ready to go to West Point. My brother and sister, like high A students. My sister never missed a day of school all the way through college. I mean, these are like devoted people who know. I barely graduated high school, you know. But what is God wanting from us? I mean, he gives them the ability to have scholarly minds because he wants to use them. And some of us, we struggle in that area because that's not what he has for us. He has for us something totally different. Are you willing to discover what that is? You know, we sit sometimes and we think that we know what our destiny is. But the problem is we have never asked God what he wanted our destiny to be. You know, what is it that he wants us to go after? You know, what is it that he has to say through us to other people? Because it's not about us. It's about the world and the people that he is going to bring into the glory of God. And you know what? Some of them may get there before us if we don't start responding to what God has to say. To start responding to praise and worship and really understanding that it's an opportunity for us to draw close to him. Amen? Let's go to Psalms 107, 31 through 32. Thank you, Jeremy. I have a translation I don't love, and I'm too chicken to use King James. So, anyways, he's bringing that up. Okay. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Praise the Lord in song, in word of his goodness, and what he has done for us is really tapping into his goodness. Really tapping into his goodness until it becomes worship, right? So there is a difference between praise and worship. Praise is thanking him for everything that he's done that's been good. You know, and you can go on and on. You know, when I was first, I called Kathy and asked her to have lunch last week, and I'm not that social, so it's hard. Like, I don't know Kathy that well. If Carolyn's there, I'm good. You know, she breaks the ice. Carolyn's amazing. I love her, but when I have to meet somebody on my own, it's a little bit different. You know, but the Lord just, you know, I was praying and I was studying, and I just heard Kathy, and it's like, what about Kathy? You know, she's a nice lady. She knows you. But I didn't really get anything else at that moment, you know. But the thing is, I've listened to her. And she knows how to praise. And she knows the difference between praise and worship. She has this ability to take the word and when it goes in there, it just all goes into the right places. And I mean, I've seen her even at like a little group that we have that she's full. And when she knows how to separate And I'm not trying to lift her up other than in Jesus, because that's what we need to do. We need to learn the difference of praise and worship. So we can praise, we can thank him for his goodness, and then when it will naturally flow into a worship. I know nothing about music, but I know the shift. Like, I can tell when it changes. I think you can tell when it changes too. When, you know, Pastor Heather plays, like, she'll play that, I call it techno, I don't know what it is. She'll play that really fast song at first, you know, trying to get people awake and whatever, and she'll start praising. But you can tell when it turns into worship. It shifts, and the attitudes are different. But sometimes we're just not in it. But we need to be in it every time we meet. Every time that we have an opportunity of even being at home and to praise and worship. Sometimes it's easier because you don't have those inhibitions where you have to worry what other people might think. I don't care anymore. I really don't. I don't care if you're looking at me and I'm praising or it doesn't matter, because if we don't get to that place, we are going to see the city changed, and we're going to be still the same people sitting on the same pews with the same problems that we did. We're supposed to be the light and the salt of the world. So until we make a decision that whatever we're doing is for the glory of God, then we aren't going to see change here. I don't think so. You know, we've been believing for a long time. Our pastors are dedicated to serving the Lord. They serve us. They give us everything they've got. But without cooperation, you cannot do much, right? So we need to start cooperating so that when those people come, we are the examples. They can say, these people love Jesus. I can't wait to stay here. I want to come back. You know, we're not hungry enough. And that's what I'm saying this morning, is that when we are hungry and we really want to see the glory of God, we're going to make some change. I really think that that's true. So praise the Lord in song and word of his goodness, and what he has done for us is really tapping into the goodness of the Lord, really tapping into his goodness until it becomes worship. And as we worship, truly with our focus on him, if we want to see the glory of God increase, it will be through us, right? When we get saved, the glory of God is actually, it's in us, right? So have you ever heard that, where a lot of people talk about the glory like leaking through people? How did Peter's shadow heal people? Because the glory of God in him was so strong and so evident in his life that when he walked by somebody, they just automatically got healed. He didn't do anything. He walked by them. That is the power that God has given in us, that dwells in us, that we don't use because we have not accessed it. And that's not God's fault. That's ours. We need to own it and make change. So what's inside our hearts, you know? Are our hearts full of bitterness or strife? Do we have things that we need to lay at the altar, that we need to get rid of so that we can really pursue God's relationship, you know, and pursue being in the glory of God? I mean, what would it be like? You know, I mean, that we talk about these old revivals where you see the manifest presence of God was real. It, you know, I understand that he dwells in us, and that's true. But I can also tell you that his presence, you know, there was a time in my life where the presence of God was so strong, I literally thought that I would die. I really did. I thought that I couldn't live. I just couldn't live. And you would think that being in the presence of God, that you would have all these questions I always wanted to ask him. But you know what? You were on your face, or at least I was. You know what? I saw his feet because I couldn't move. And he's amazing, and he's so full of love. And this is the other thing. So, you know, be careful, because you can be in the presence of God at such a great level and walk in that and allow one distraction, and it can pull you away. There was a time where the Lord said to me, he says, I look for you every day. I said, Lord, I'm praying. I'm spending time with you. I'd still talk to you. I mean, I don't understand. He said, for months, I look for you there every day. What was he looking for? It was because I had a special place where I would meet with him. And although it seemed like it didn't matter to me, I'm still spending time with the Lord, he liked me to meet him in that place. That was just as special to him as it was to me. But what happened? I forgot. I thought that I could meet with him anywhere. And I can. It's not that he wouldn't meet with me, but But he loves relationship, and he wants us to be so desireful of him that it becomes that special, that it is, it's just a place where we can't hardly stay out of, you know? Our problem is everything else becomes more important, or we get so distracted. I can come home, and I'm kind of a, you know, I'm like, even if I'm cleaning my house, I might go in and wipe down the counters and stuff in the bathroom, and the next thing you know, I'm vacuuming, but then I still have other stuff I need to do in the bathroom. I'm kind of like this scatterbrain cleaner, you know? It's like I don't stay focused on one thing, you know? It's probably what happened to my kids sometimes, you know? It's probably my fault, my gene pool, you know? I just get in that place where I just can't stay in the same place. But anyway, it's God wants us to develop that secret place with him. Someplace where we can be with him, desire the things that he desires. He'll speak to us. I talk to him just like I would talk to anybody else. Only I knew he understood me, and I didn't have to make excuse for the way I tried to explain things because he created me. So I didn't have those worries. Instead of trying to explain something to somebody else and them misunderstanding something I was saying, it's not like that with God. He understands us. He knows our heart. He knows who I am. And he knows what he wants me to be. And I won't become that until I get back in my secret place. Until I am willing to make a fool out of myself for God. I'm not afraid that somebody's going to look at me or think that I'm one of those spiritual people, you know? I don't care anymore. I don't. I don't want to care anymore. If I do, please, God, rip it out of me, you know? Let's go to, I think I got out of line there. Let's go to Acts 16:16 through 26. I don't know that I'm going to read it well. Is that the wrong one? Oh, that's the wrong one. I'm sorry. I gave you the wrong one, but I'll just tell you. So it's the one about Paul and Silas. When Paul and Silas needed the Spirit of God to move on their behalf, right? They didn't wait for God to move. They continued. They were in jail, right? They were locked away. That is not a place where I want to be, by the way. You know, so this state needs to get in shape here. But Silas and Paul and Silas needed the Spirit to move on their behalf. They didn't wait for God to move. They continued to praise him until the glory and the Spirit of God moved. They knew when the Spirit moved because their earth shook, right? But when the glory, when they were in the glory, the doors opened. You know, was it the wrong one? Okay. So having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. So they weren't just like sitting on a bench or, you know, they were secured, right? But when they praised, they weren't worried about where they were at. They were worried about their relationship with God. They so loved him and so trusted him that they were willing to be in that place. And as they praised him, thanking him for his goodness, thanking him for his mercy, not even necessarily asking him to rescue them from their place where they were, then worship abound and the glory of God came in and broke off their shackles and opened the doors. So what can God do in the glory? I mean, we have no idea because we have never positioned ourselves in a place as a body of believers. You know, when two or more are gathered. So when we gather, if there's one of us, that's great. But this is his family. So when it's all of us together, he is like supercharged. What if our whole church would come to a place where we were willing to just love on him and let him do an inner work in us that maybe's never been done before? We think that we know all the answers because we've been believers for such a long time. That's not true. That's not true because God keeps giving us revelation all the time. You know, I know my husband and I grew up Catholic, and I love my family. As a matter of fact, I have two nephews that are making their first Holy Communion today. God loves Catholic people, and there are very many of them that are saved and serving the Lord just like we are. But they have the same issues as we do. It's like God is trying to, he wants a perfected bride. I don't think we look like that. So, you know, it's probably true that God's not ready to come take us home yet because we are not the bride that he's looking for. We are damaged goods. But we don't need to be. We can be the bride that he wants. And that's what I want to, that's what I want to happen. I don't want to have to strive for it. I want it to be an act of who God created to me and what he's developed in me and what he expects out of me because of who I am. Because I am the righteousness of God. Because I do have all access through the blood of Jesus. Amen? Let's go to Isaiah 6, 1 through 3. Oh. So in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood a seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. Now, that means that he saw in the spirit realm. Amen? So are we in the Old Testament or the New Testament? We're in the Old Testament. So if God is giving revelation to people of the Old Testament, whether they be prophet or men, you know, we have all access. We are the ones with that have all the authority and power was given to us. You know, so the blood of the Lamb, you know, it's there. So if God will do that in the Old Testament, how much more will he do for us today? Amen? The presence of God manifest presence of God, the abode of God, that's that weightiness of God. That means when you are sitting in his presence and you can, or laying in your bed or whatever, and the weight of the glory of God comes upon you, that he doesn't just do in private. He will do that for us as a group of believers if we allow that. So it's something that's tangible, right? It's something that, just like the old saints, you know, that they, I mean, some of them had smoke-filled rooms. Some of them, I mean, there's stories of the kids playing in the glory of God. They didn't even know what it was, but it was so natural. What are those things? What is God doing? What do you think God did with those little kids? Do you think that just because maybe they were too young to understand some of the things that were going on? No, there are stories that those kids that played in that glory of God, they became great men and women of God because God plants stuff in us. Nothing is wasted in the glory of God. I just want us to get to a place where we desire that as a community of believers. And I think that we can do that. I just think that we have to be committed and want it. Be hungry. So the presence of God, the manifest presence of God, the abode of God is tangible. When we enter into the glory and when its manifest presence resides, there's no struggle in it. It takes away the striving, and that's where the signs, wonders, and miracles are going to happen that we've been waiting to see. I'm not saying that they can't happen outside the building or outside the church. They should, and they will, but because God is good. Because if he can't move through us, he's going to find other people that are willing to do what he's asked them to do. They're going to position them the way that they need to be positioned so that they are ready. And in his great mercy, he's going to do things even that are unknown to us. Thank goodness. You know, thank you that he is willing to do that for us. I'm going to skip Habakkuk. Let's go to Exodus 33, 9 through 11. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord walked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And the people rose and worshiped each man at his tent door. So again, you know, if God's doing, if he's showing the glory of God in the Old Testament, and you know, he needed to do that, but he will do it for us. But Moses was hungry. Moses made mistakes. You know, he didn't even get to go into the promised land because of some of them. But he loved the Lord. He loved God. And he was willing to do what God asks of him. You know, we don't always do it perfect, but it doesn't matter because there's grace for that. But grace isn't the message that we get saved and then we go live our lives like however we want to. There should be something in us that makes us want everything of Jesus and nothing that the world has to offer. He can do that. It's not, you know, there's healing. There is, you know, it's, I'm not saying it's even always easy. I think that, you know, when I got saved, I had some bad habits that went away and some that stuck around for a while. You know, we're not expected to be perfect. We're expected to be subject to his will and to be subject to wanting to learn, to want to grow, to want to become everything that he's created us to become. Do I even know what my full destiny is? I wish I did. You know, I'm ashamed to say that I have not pursued it in the way. I always think that everybody else can do it better. You know, what is it that you have for me? What it is that he has for me that I know is to do what he wants me to do when he asks me to do it. I don't really know much more than that. And so that's when how I'm choosing to live. And I make lots of mistakes. Ask my family, or please don't. There's probably more stories that I'd not want to be out. But, you know, he doesn't need us to be perfect. He needs us to be submitted. And he needs us to be people that are in love with him. And when that happens, we are going to see the best of days in this church. We are going to see these chairs will be so full. We will definitely need a new church. But again, I say, if we aren't willing to make some changes, to come into that place, when our pastors come back, if it's everything goes back to the way it was, then maybe we're still not ready. You know, it's not up to them to make us do something. It's the Spirit of God moving and dwelling inside our being. How many times have you sat there during a worship song and felt led? How many times have you felt like that you just want to fall on your face, but you wouldn't because it's not appropriate or somebody might think something? How many times have there been where you felt like you should get up and go pray for somebody and you didn't because you didn't think it was the right time? When is the right time? When God tells you to do it. Amen. I'm not saying that you need to be out of order. That is not what I'm saying at all, because we are not. God has everything in order and he knows how to do it. But I'm telling you, he wouldn't tell you to go do something if he wasn't wanting to have something come of it. Amen. He's not going to call you to do something that's going to not give him any glory. Amen. If it's something that you're doing because it's all about yourself, then you're not doing it in the right heart anyway. Right. If we want to see the glory increase, it's going to be through us. So we need to make sure what's inside of us. Make sure that we're clear of any strife that we might have against somebody, of any whatever comes up. Check your heart, you know. Ask God, purify my heart, oh God, you know. Make it right before you. You know, he's gracious to forgive us. You know, he's already forgiven us. It's just us repenting, actually, for like when we recognize that we've done wrong. Ask him to bring things to our mind that maybe we not know of, you know, so that we can take care of them. But many of the saints that pastored in they began to worship, and then it turned into they praised, and it became worship, and then they entered into a glory realm, and that's where I want to be. So here we are, Pentecost Sunday, reminded of when the apostles are filled with the Holy Spirit, with evidence of speaking in tongues. Let us use this gift and pray and declare in the Spirit that the desires of God and wait in his presence in the glory. Let the miracles and the signs and the wonders give God an opportunity to move. The word promises to follow those who believe. So do we believe? Are we willing to take a chance? You know, it wasn't just that the apostles got filled with the Holy Spirit. They started moving and walking in the days to come, and God did amazing things through them. So now it's us. We're the apostles of the day. We're the disciples. We're the ones that are supposed to be going out and moving. So it's important that we know the word. It's important that our hearts are right. And it's important that we're submitted to God. So right now, I would like...